Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome into the Big 12 Championship Preview Show. I am your host, Sterling Holmes. Kyle is behind the glass. Going to take a little deep dive into the Big 12 tournament underway right now. It's brought to you by the Miller Lite Fan Fest at the Power and Light District, Rally House, Greenlight Dispensary, and Hollywood Casino. We're going to play some audio from yesterday from both Coach Jerome Tang as well as Bill Self. Get you some updates on K-State, KU, Kansas plays Cincinnati tonight. Missing some big pieces at 8:30 while K-State, this is a big one. They will face Texas right about now, about a tip off. K-State game obviously is going to be huge for them. They got to win at least one. If they lose to Texas, can't see him being 18-14 and sliding their way in. K-State has a massive one. Spread has gone from 4.5 all the way now to 5.5. BYU today got it done over UCF. BYU, a nice first season in the Big 12. Traveled well, but man, they're on a nice little heater as they head into March Madness, winning 87-73 over UCF. Oklahoma falls to TCU. TCU, from all accounts, sounds like they will be in. They were already in before this game, according to Joe Lenardi. His last update was at 10 a.m. Eastern time this morning. TCU was one of the last four byes. They won. That should help them out, solidify where they're going to be, as well as Oklahoma. Now questions might emerge from Oklahoma. They were a 9 seed in the March Madness bracket from Joe Lenardi before this loss. What does that mean? I think both teams get in, but still, Oklahoma went 8-10 in the Big 12. Big 12 was the best college basketball conference this year. I always perpetually think the Big 12 is the best college basketball conference. ACC, Big 10, kick rocks. Come on. ACC has like four good teams. What, Wake Forest is their 5? Might even make it in. You look at the Big 10. Come on. With a straight face, you're going to tell me Big Ten? SEC at least seemingly has at least some sort of semblance of postseason performance. Is the Big 12, though. So, Oklahoma at 8-10 in the Big 12 might sneak their way in, but TCU sure seemingly sealed the deal into the big dance. Let's talk about K-State, Texas first. This game is going to get underway any moment now. Initial thoughts, Kyle. K-State, 18-13, limped to the finish line. They, good start, right, to the season. They had some good wins over Villanova, Providence, I guess Wichita State, if you can count them. But then they got underway with UCF, nice victory. West Virginia, not great team, but good victory. They beat Baylor. I beat Oklahoma State, and then they really went reeling. Tough games, don't get me wrong, but they lost 4 in a row to Iowa State, Houston, Oklahoma, and then Oklahoma State. Got a massive victory against Kansas, but then lost to BYU, lost to TCU on a game winner, lost to Texas by 6. And they beat BYU, had to have it, beat West Virginia, had to have it. And I'm sitting here going, all right, K-State, if you beat Cincinnati, you put yourself in a really good spot to make it to the tournament. Well, they fell to Cincinnati, lost by 2 on what? A game winner. Got just drubbed by Kansas. And then, when all hope seems lost, when I finally said, all right, I'm writing K-State off, the loss to Cincinnati, and then the drubbing by KU, it did it, they're done, no chance. Well, they bounced back and beat Iowa State at home. Had to have it, they got it. Well, now things get interesting where, again, they're on the outside looking in. But if they beat Texas, they would have beaten some pretty darn good teams this year, potentially better than a lot of other schools. Where do they fit in? Where does K-State fit in? How many games do they need to win? I think it's more than just Texas. If they lose to Texas, sorry, they're done. But they beat Texas tonight, starting at 6, starting about right now. They got a chance. Where are you at here, Kyle? You're muted. You know. In radio, sometimes you have to press the button to turn it on.
My fault there. It definitely has to be more than Texas. You know, you beat Texas, you go ahead and beat Iowa State again, then, you know, there's a serious claim for Kansas State there to be a tournament team. If they make it to the championship, then 100%, I think they've made a solid case. But their journey, as you mentioned, you know, before asking me that question, that's just a telltale of the Big 12 this year. We, you know, a team like Kansas can lose to a team like West Virginia, and then they can beat Houston by 20 points.
You look at what K-State, some of the underlying metrics. I think BPI is a fun one here. They have K-State 58th. 58th BPI. Not great. Not looking good. You might say, hey, well, that's you know, one of the, what's it, 65 now? 64 they added. 68 now with the play-in game. 68 now. That's in this top 68. Yeah, well, that's without all of the qualifying teams, right? That's without all the teams that get the automatic qualifiers for winning their conference. So K-State at 58 is in a precarious situation here. Man, it's just not good. It's not good. Let's play some Jerome Tang. Jerome Tang spoke yesterday. We'll start with Jerome. The first thing he talked about is what Jerome Tang and this team needs this week.
I think if we look at our resume right now compared to other teams on the bubble, we have as good of a resume. My statement all along has been 9 wins in this conference and you are going to get in, right? For sure. It didn't mean that 8 doesn't get you in or 7 doesn't get you in. Like last year, I think West Virginia was 7-11 and they got in. So, you know, that's not the thing. I just knew what I had to put in front of our guys so they understood that you do this and then you're going to get in. And then if it's less than that, then now it's people's judgments. But I think if you put our resume up against anybody else's blind, the teams that are on the bubble, our quad one wins, our no losses and quad threes and fours, you know, our strength of schedule because of the league we play in, I like our schedule now. I think as Bob Huggins has said one time, if first is available, why go for second, right? And so we're going up there to try and win a championship, a Big 12 championship, but you can't win it unless you win the first game. And so that's why we're only focused on the first game.
Well, they're 8-10 in conference, so got to get that 9. He mentions the 9. What I always find hard, it used to be you have to pretty much go 500 at a minimum in your conference to get in. Like, that was the starting point. But I always remember the change, and you guys can all correct me if I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. The team that really I noticed being under 500, had a bad record but found a way into the tournament, was Oklahoma. Back when they had Trae Young. And that, to me, started this whirlwind of, okay, now no longer do you have to go at least 500 in your conference. Now, if you're 8-10, a game or two under 500, you'll be considered. But what I always go back to is, I love K-State. I root for them. I'm a Mizzou guy, but my fiance went to K-State, so I have a soft spot for the Wildcats. They don't have Trae Young, right? They had some fun players last year, right? Some great players last year. They're not there. A lot of the big-name star players that people like to watch, that I think it shouldn't, but I personally believe it does sway some judgment here. I mean, you look back at that Oklahoma schedule, you look back at that team, no way they should have even been close to making it, but they had Trae Young. Superstars can swing you in. K-State doesn't have those superstars. Again, not saying it should be that way, but we've seen it before. So if they had a guy who was putting up 35 a game, hyperbolic, 25 a game, 25-8 a game, better chance. If Noel was on this team still, you might be looking even better. But he's not. They got to get to 9. Jerome Tang talked about it. That starts with a win against Texas. Next one from Jerome, what this means in the conference tournament.
You know, I've been watching, and the guys obviously been watching all these conference tournaments, you know, and you see teams, who was it, East Tennessee State was down 20 and came back and sent it to overtime and ended up winning. And you see guys, the guys from Chattanooga, you know, they're crying, right? The season's over, the finality of it. And, you know, what really helps in this time is, do these guys want to spend another day together? Right. Do they love being with each other, and they don't want this thing to end, so they're going to do everything they can. And it's not that the teams that lost didn't, but that's why those games, I mean, through all the conference tournaments have been so great. And that's what makes the Big 12 so great, that, you know, every game is like a tournament game. And I think every team right now, it doesn't matter who you are, playing like, you know, it's your last game, because it just means so much to you.
K-State right now down 9-4, official TV timeout, under 16, 15-20 left in the first half. K-State again down 5. It's interesting because K-State and the Big 12 is so much like the SEC in football. Like, Big 12 basketball is SEC football, in my opinion, where it's the clear-cut best conference in the respective sport. It's the one where if a team goes 6-6 in the SEC, you're sitting there going, yeah, but they'd beat that 8-4 team from the Pac-12. They'd beat that 9-3 team from the ACC. I think the Big 12 is kind of the same way. Like, is K-State one of the best 68 teams? Yeah, they are. But also, we know how it goes down when it's all said and done. You get some sway because you play in the Big 12. But it's not 68 spots. I think that's a common thought process that a lot of these schools have, a lot of fans have, is, yeah, are they one of the 68 best teams? Yes, they are. Doesn't come down to that. They left too much up to chance, too much up for the committee to decide. Again, they have to beat Texas. All right, let's talk a little Kansas now. Kansas is going to be without McCullers, going to be without Hunter Dickinson. It's going to be a really interesting team to watch tonight. Cincinnati, 2.5-point favorites. Over-under is 138.5. Cincinnati really has to have this. They're 19-13, but they're 7-11 in Big 12 play. Let's start with Bill Self talking about Hunter Dickinson.
We got great news yesterday with Hunt. There's no surgery. He did not tear his labrum. Actually, he's far better off than what the doctors and the trainers even imagined. So he's got good range of motion. He's already started rehab, all those things. Now, that's the good news. Bad news is he's not going to play this week. The good news is he should be practicing full speed by the start of next week. So he'll be available to us with the NCAA tournament. And not only available, but, you know, should be fine. I mean, he'll be conditioning and doing non-contact basketball stuff by, you know, Thursday or Friday this week, we think. And all indications are pointing to that, and then have contact Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, depending on when we play, if we play Thursday or Friday, but should get at least 3 full days in. So that was the best news, because we were all concerned that you know, he may have something to require surgery, and that's not the case.
Sounds like great scenario for Hunter Dickinson and KU. He's been really solid this year for Kansas. Scary when you have that happen, especially in a game where you're getting blown out, lose by 30 to Houston, almost adding insult to injury. But for Kansas, I don't know if this is the worst thing in the world. They need to have some other guys get confidence and step up, which we'll play some audio from Bill Self in a second, which alludes to this. You know what you have in Hunter Dickinson. You got a guy who can go out there and get you 18-10. You have a guy who can go out there and knock down a three or two a game. You have a guy who the majority of the teams you're going to face is going to be a matchup nightmare for them. You know that. What you need to find out is who can step up, who can get the hot hand, who can score, who can hit three of seven from three in a game. Who can you trust? And so with no Hunter Dickinson, someone has to step up. It's Timberlake. There's some names you can look at. KJ Adams is going to have a larger role tonight and just throughout the Big 12 tournament. However far they go. Again, 2.5-point dogs to Cincy. Both Hunter Dickinson being out and your seeding, I think, relatively set. I don't know your thoughts here, Kyle, if KU's a three or a four. I don't know if that's the biggest difference. I really don't. What you need is to get healthy and get right. That matters way more than your seeding. Yeah. You've seen three seeds make the Final Four. You've seen four seeds. You've seen eight seeds. You've seen one seeds. It's all about who's hot, who's right at the right time.
That's exactly right, Sterling. And we're going to hear from Bill Self here in a little bit. You know, about this baby J, the small lineup that they're going to have for this Big 12 tournament. And, you know, doing a temperature check for, you know, Kansas fans right now, I guess most of them aren't really worried about the Big 12 tournament at all. They're focused on March. And clearly, I think Bill Self and his staff is too, with McCuller and Hunter Dickinson going to be out. You know, this has been the story of the season for Kansas. They need somebody on the bench who has now been thrust into the starting role, into the starting lineup for this tournament. Somebody has got to take a step forward. In years past, you think about a guy like Remy Martin, who came off the bench and was a stud for Kansas. Malik Newman had a very similar impact. So somebody, if Kansas wants to go far in this NCAA tournament, somebody has got to step up.
Yeah. Remy Martin's a good call. And what's not a good call was my confidence level in KU. Again, I told everyone, I'm a Mizzou fan. It's not like I'm sitting here as a big Jayhawker trying to be a homer. I said going into that Houston game, it was going to be a big game, but I thought KU has, they have a team that I thought would play well in March. Now, obviously, injuries happened and all that, but I didn't expect that. I was wrong. I know the comparisons of the Chiefs and Kansas basketball, right? The veterans, the guys, the coach, the superstars. But their role players aren't stepping up. Their defense has not quite been as good as we thought.
It's going to be tougher for Kansas now. They've got KJ Adams, who's 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". We'll see what he's... I'm not sure what he's listed at, but...
I'm going to look at what he's listed at.
He'll be playing the five.
Yeah, you better believe I ripped that over on his rebound total. 6'7". Yeah. Listed at 6'7".
Okay.
But you never know what they're listed at. He's also a very athletic guy.
Oh, yeah. So. He can jump through the gym, but... And I know Adams has had experience playing the five in the past, but
yeah,
it's a little bit different.
Let's go to the Bill Self audio of him talking about Kevin McCullers.
Kevin tried to play against Houston, as you guys know, and couldn't. He didn't really do anything between the K-State game and the Houston game, but was feeling very good in warm-ups because we said it'd be a game-time decision. He was feeling very good. And then when he got out there, he didn't feel like he could perform. So he went through one substitution and then came out. Kevin will not play this week. He will not play this week. But that's a positive, too, because everyone thinks that the time off will obviously help him. So he will play in the NCAA tournament as well. Our goal for Kevin is very similar to Hunt in that non-contact stuff, and then by Monday be contact and be practicing doing that. So that's what we're hopeful for. The thing with Kevin, you know, you can tweak it and obviously create pain and that kind of stuff. But we're thinking a week from today, Kevin will be practicing with us and doing everything, which is so much better than what we've been doing, because we've been only getting maybe one practice in a week on the other times. And Nick can tell you the same thing. So we're the least healthy we've been all year. We have the least number of players available to us we've been all year. But we should be the most healthy we've been in a long time when the NCAA tournament starts.
And that's good. I mentioned it. Their seeding is not going to all of a sudden drop like a rock or shoot up based on, in my opinion, what happens over the next couple games. You got to get healthy. You got to get right. And McCullers is 75%. You ain't winning, man. Sorry. Drop down a spot. If Hunter's not right, if he's not healthy, if he has to miss or can only play 20 minutes, you ain't winning. You got to get these guys healthy. Get them right. I think his observation, who would have thought Bill Self got it right, who's a smart dude. Health is what matters at this point of the year. They're not healthy, but hopefully next week we'll be getting a lot of these guys who have been banged up back and ready to go. I love the smattering of applause in the background, obviously. I would love that whenever I talk, just lives in the background. Anytime I break any news, right here. K-State's winning 16-15 over Texas. Like, that's what I would love. Just every time I said something in the background, clapping would happen. Because Bill Self has that going for him. That's nice. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. I'll go through KU Lamore, K-State a little bit more. The Big 12 as well. And, of course, more audio. The Big 12 Championship Preview was brought to you by the Miller Lite Fan Fest at the Power and Light District, Rally House, Green Light Dispensary, and Hollywood Casino. More talk next. Welcome back to the Big 12 Championship Preview Show. I am Sterling Holmes. Again, the Big 12 Championship Preview Show is brought to you by the Miller Lite Fan Fest at the Power and Light District, Rally House, Green Light Dispensary, and Hollywood Casino. I'm excited. I'm going down tomorrow. It'll be a long day. About 9 to 9. We're having some fun down there. So if you want to head down to the Power and Light District tomorrow, I will be there. What do you think of the time my first beer is cracked at? What do you think? I might be doing some stage work down there.
Give me, should I set the before or after at noon?
Oh, wow, that's bold. Depends on the weather. If it's warm out, they flow better.
Okay.
It's cold. That coffee's going to be hitting just right, you know. I know there's supposed to be some weather coming in at some point this evening, I believe, according to my phone. I never know, man. I am so bad when it comes to weather. Like, I just don't pay attention. It's supposed to be about 71 tomorrow. That noon crack time, sounding pretty good. We'll see. All right, more talk about the Big 12. Sticking with KU here. Bill Self talks about the small lineup in KC, especially without McCullers and Hunter Dickinson.
It's going to look a lot different,
and
we're going to be tiny.
Yeah,
when you really look at it, KJ at the five or Parker, but KJ probably starting at the five, and then you got our power forward Johnny Furphy and small forward Nick Timberlake. You know, so
right.
So that's what that's probably what it'll look like. And you know, we say all along that you know there's an expression you know unfortunately that's come of a tragedy. A huge one up in the Boston area as far as Boston tough, you know, isn't that right, Nick? Nick is going to show us that and Marco get a chance to be out there a lot. But as far as scholarship guys, we only got seven.
Right.
So we need to play smart. We need to play tough and certainly need to have some fun and, you know, let that ball fly and hope like heck that we perform at a level that we're capable of. We do that, we'll be fine.
This is a massive game for Timberlake. Timberlake was a big transfer guy. Like, when he came to Kansas, it was okay. They got their shooter now. They got a guy who can score, but particularly shoot. Has to shot the ball well. At some point, and I brought this up, by the way, I'm not trying to take credit because I'm sure other people have the same thought process. He went from playing 35 minutes a year ago, nearly 36 minutes a year ago, 33 the year prior, and then 30 the year prior to that. This is a guy who's used to playing, my gosh, this is his 6th year. That was his 5th. But this is a guy who's played. Sorry, I got off. You know when you see like the list just keeps going down and down? I'm like, holy Aaron Kraft. Like, Aaron Kraft, I think, only played 4 years, but it felt like 9.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That, Perry Ellis, too.
Perry Ellis. But Timberlake was supposed to be a big get. A guy who's played a ton of minutes, who shot 40-plus percent from the three-point line the past 2 seasons. Averaged 17.7 points per game last year. Again, I know it's not the Big 12. But shooting the ball, sorry, using a little bit of Hoosiers here, still 10 feet. Distance is still the same for the three-point line. Yeah, some closeouts are going to be different. End of the day, you got to hit your open ones. He's not hitting his open ones. Shooting 28.9% from the three-point line this year. 4.6 points per game this year. But then I go back, and I have to bring this up. He's playing 14 minutes per game this year. It's a combination of when you're not playing well, you won't be on the floor very long. Sorry, when you're playing at Kansas, a little different. If you're not shooting the ball well, you're not bringing a lot of value. They might not give you time to get into a rhythm. But again, as a three-point shooter, myself, I still play basketball, like, sometimes it's hard. First couple of minutes coming off the bench, you're trying to get into a flow. Now you're no longer starting. Now the first couple minutes, you're trying to get into a flow. Maybe you miss a shot, and all of a sudden, you're sitting on the bench. It's hard. But you're brought in to be the shooter. This is your 6th year in college basketball. You're a veteran, man. You got to find a way to get it done. So this game in particular, tonight, 8:30 against Cincy, I want to see Nicholas Timberlake be aggressive. I want to see Timberlake try and search out and get his shot. I want to see him shoot, what, 7 threes? 8 threes?
Yeah, put up 10. Try to make half of them.
I mean, again, even if you lose, who cares? This is all about trying to get confidence going into March Madness. This is all about trying to figure out if Timberlake's a guy you can rely on. If you shoot well, guess what? You're getting more minutes. If you shoot poorly, okay, fine. You got to try and find a way to get into a rhythm. Tonight's the night. Expect to see a lot of Timberlake. I don't know your thoughts there, but that's the guy I'm tabbing for Kansas with no, obviously, McCullers or Hunter Dickinson. Timberlake's the guy I got my eye on.
Yeah, no, for sure. And from that audio clip, you know, I heard Bill Self say, we're going to let it fly. I mean, when you're understaffed and your coach gives you the green light and you're a shooter, I can't imagine a more exciting feeling for a basketball player. Let it fly tonight. I mean, really, you're already in the tournament. You're going to get your All-Americans back and healthy, we think, for the NCAA tournament. So you got nothing to lose tonight. Let that ball fly.
Johnny Furphy, the other guy, 6'9", freshman from Australia. I didn't know he was 6'9".
Yeah.
He didn't seem 6'9". Like, he doesn't... If you would have said who's taller, Furphy or KJ Adams, I probably would have told you KJ Adams. But Furphy, big game for him. He's going to have to step up big. Been a little hot and cold, shooting the rock. Elmarco Jackson to an extent. But one of my favorite players to watch, one of the guys that I think is going to make the biggest impact, not just the Big 12 tournament, but throughout March. You want to take a guess on who I think it is?
Is it DeJuan Harris?
It's DeJuan Harris. A guy from Columbia. Don't bring it up to me. Guy from Columbia, Missouri. But he's a veteran point guard who's won before. Phenomenal passer. Doesn't turn the ball over. And can guard your best guard. DeJuan Harris is an old school point guard. When you watch him play, it's a joy to watch. I mean, it's not John Stockton, but it's a little bit of like, okay, he's not there to score. If you get 10 points from him, that's great. You get some production from him, you get him to be aggressive on a few drives a game, great. But where he thrives, pick and roll, pick and pop, just making the smart decisions, you probably won't see it a lot this game, outside of getting the ball into the shooter's pocket to Timberlake or Furphy. But DeJuan Harris, when the actual March Madness bracket comes out, if KU makes a run, it might be because of McCullers and Dickinson. I get all that. But to me, it comes down to DeJuan Harris. If he's aggressive enough, okay? I'm not saying he needs to take 4 threes a game, but the ones where he's left open, when he makes the decision to drive, because he's a better finisher than I think he realizes sometimes. It's hilarious when you watch guys, you're like, dude, you are better than you think you are. That's how I feel when I watch DeJuan Harris. I love watching that guy play.
Yeah, and they're going to need him to be aggressive tonight. I can't remember the exact record, but you know, stats do show when he scores, you know, in double figures, Kansas is, they win a majority of the time. So some aggression from him is definitely needed tonight.
News in the K-State game. K-State down 10, 26-16, 7 minutes and 16 seconds left in the first half. K-State just called a timeout. Final audio clip from Bill Self talking about the NCAA seeding.
Instead of being a two seed or whatever, you know, you're not. You're going to have, the first game is going to be a very tough game, and the second game, you know, you're going to be playing somebody that, you know, if it's a coin flip game. That's how it works in the tournament. Teams that have been four, five, six seeds or eight seeds or whatever have played for the national championship. But they played really well in those coin flip type games, and you know, you got to win those games. So for us, the start of the tournament will be probably a little bit different. Doesn't mean that we can't have success all the time, but we can't play poorly and expect to have success. And so, you know, which, to be honest with you, it's the way it should be all the time. Teams that play the best win. And we've certainly got the manpower to play the best. Now, we do need our full complement of guys, but, you know, from the sound of it, it looks like we're certainly moving in that direction, which is more than we've had for the last, you know, 6 weeks or whatever.
Again, going back to health, complete understanding, maybe a little bit of a softening the blow if Kansas lose to Cincinnati tonight. All right, a little bit of, hey, okay, but you know what we're here for. It's almost like week 18 for the Chiefs, where it's like, okay, what's more important, winning this game or getting healthy? What's more important? The Chiefs typically will go for if it affects seeding, of course. I mean, if KU wins, maybe they're three, maybe. They lose, maybe they're four or five. Like, again, it all just depends. I mean, they're in that range, 3 to 4 range, I think. It's getting healthy. It's all it comes down to. It's paramount. This time of year, he mentioned it. Doesn't matter the seed, and they've played for national titles, whatever the seed is. Danny and the Miracles, baby. You got to get hot. You got to be healthy. All right. K-State down 8 right now, 26-18. 26-18 K-State, 6 minutes and 21 seconds left in the first. I still just can't believe KU went 10-8 in the Big 12 this year. So shocking to me.
I mean, just seeing them on the bracket as the Big 12 tournament bracket as a 6 seed, yeah, definitely a jarring experience.
Seeing them play today instead of tomorrow.
Right, yeah, right, definitely. Just it's a little different, but obviously they've had their issues this year. Injury to Kevin McCullough, I think, being the biggest of those culprits. And then secondly, you know, a bench that just has not been able to rally together, you know, the depth, that's the word I'm looking for, just has not been there this year for that Kansas team.
Looking around the Big 12 tournament as a whole right now, obviously BYU, as I mentioned earlier, beat UCF 87-73. TCU beating Oklahoma 77-70. And then, obviously, Cincinnati beat West Virginia last night, and Cincinnati will play Kansas at 8:30. Cincinnati needs to, if Cincinnati beats KU, I know KU's not full strength. I don't think they have a legit shot of making it in, but what are your thoughts there? They're 7-11 in the Big 12 right now. But that would be their 20th win of the season. They probably have to beat Baylor the following day. But if they beat Kansas tonight, they're firmly on the bubble. And right now, Joe Lunardi has 9 teams from the Big 12 in the tournament.
Yeah, no, they are a very similar case to Kansas State. I think they have to win here, and then they have to win again. Just to – that'll definitely just build their case. But, yeah, right now, get to the bubble, win again, and then, you know, Lunardi can probably strengthen your case to get in the tournament.
Well, I always think of 20 wins as almost the cutoff.
Okay.
Again, they have not been great in the Big 12. Again, this is like a power conference, 20 wins as the minimum. That's always my thought. If you get to 20, mm-hmm. you're on the bubble. Because Lunardi has 9 right now in Houston, Iowa State, Baylor, Texas Tech, BYU, Kansas, who, by the way, all 6 of those teams are currently ranked in the top 25. Then you have Texas, TCU, who I mentioned, that was a big win. They were a little bit on the bubble. Then Oklahoma, who we'll see, because they're on the bubble. And then you have K-State, Cincinnati, both those two teams on the bubble, while the top 9, as I mentioned, are in. Goes to show you just the strength and the depth of the Big 12. The potential, again, potential. Maybe I'm talking Alberto Mondesi potential here as far as very unlikely. But 11 teams!
I assume 9 is the highest number from a conference?
Yeah, it's 9.
Okay.
It is. Sorry, let me pull this back up. I have all these brackets open. Yeah, it's Big 12 with 9, SEC with 7. Mizzou not doing their job there. Big East with 6. Big 10 with only 5. Mountain West with 5. ACC with 4. Missouri Valley with 2, baby. This is going to be it's going to be fun tonight if Cincinnati wins. I'll just say that. For the Big 12. It'd be great for the Big... Honestly, for the tournament, I don't know. For the people packing P&L, I don't know. For the actual potential to get more teams into the NCAA tournament, Cincinnati winning tonight at 8:30, maybe not the worst thing. Maybe not the worst thing. Going to the Big 12 bracket, though, BYU will play Texas Tech. That is the first game tomorrow. If anyone's trying to make their plans for P&L, anyone trying to get down there, again, I will be down there having fun. Right now, the over-under on beer cracked by me. Timing is noon. Kyle said it, so if you want to get on that. Kyle, are you the bookie on this one? Are you the you take a cut?
I don't need to.
Wow. Your largesse knows no bounds.
Yeah, that's right.
BYU, Texas Tech, 5-4 seed at 11:30. That will also be playing on ESPN2. Then this is right now, according to Sports Illustrated. TCU, the 8, playing Houston, the 1. That will be at 2 o'clock Central. That game will play on ESPN. But again, I highly recommend going to P&L and watching it there. Or, obviously, live. Whoever wins between K-State and Texas will play Iowa State, the 2 seed. That game will take place at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. And then tonight's game, the 8:30 game between Kansas and Cincinnati, that will be playing on ESPN2. Whoever wins that game will play Baylor at 8:30 in the night game on ESPN/ESPN2. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. More Big 12 talk coming your way. This is the Big 12 Championship Preview brought to you by the Miller Lite Fan Fest at the Power and Light District, Rally House, Greenlight Dispensary, and Hollywood Casino. And the why I don't really know the K-State theme song or the theme song. What is this, a TV show? Is this Family Guy? I always let you yell the purple and the white. You know, you gotta do the whatever the last word is.
I don't know it either.
Yeah, I don't know it either. I was trying to get into. Sorry, Mizzou guy. I don't know every single fan base's song. Why don't we call them their theme song? That sounds way cooler, like it's The Simpsons.
Fight song. That
sounds, yeah, fight about? Song's great, but theme song makes me sound better since I butchered it when I came back from the break. Come on. If you want to rip on me for calling the fight song the theme song, bring me your hate mail. At HomestretchKC on Twitter. Sterling Holmes with you at the Big 12 Championship Preview. Again, brought to you by Miller Lite Fan Fest at the Power and Light District, Rally House, Greenlight Dispensary, and Hollywood Casino. All right, let's check back on that K-State game. What are you thinking? Ooh, 31-27, Kyle. Kitty got claws. K-State fighting back. I'm a little bummed, Kyle. You didn't play One Shining Moment. Not going to lie to you. Anytime I hear One Shining Moment, it really gets me going.
So you are a fan of that song.
Yes.
I've heard from several people this week that that song's overrated.
They've
had enough of it.
You listen to it like, it's like Christmas music. I don't want to hear it in June. But when you play One Shining Moment in March, I'm all in. When I hear March Madness by Future, surprising, that is whipping around listening to Future all the time. The golf course.
I didn't know you knew who Future was.
I've seen Future in concert, baby.
What?
Yeah, you going to come at me with this? What, you think I'm too old?
My fault. I underestimated you. My fault.
Psh, please. Come on, Kyle. I'm hip. But yeah, like, there's a time and place. One Shining Moment has its time and place. It's March. It'll get me going. All right, again, K-State down 34-27, minute 52 left to play in the first. Max Abrams for Texas is such a joy to watch, man. That guy's so fun. Absolute joy. Such a blast. But going back to the Big 12 in totality here, I want to pose this question to you. One, it could be that KU is struggling down the stretch. It could be that the McCullers injury has really taken its toll. It could be that KU has been found out. Or that the Big 12 is just that good. Because when you look at some of the teams that Kansas has beat, they beat Kentucky, right? Kentucky thinks a really good team. Great team. Peyton Reed. I think I'm getting it confused with Peyton Pritchard for Boston. The last name Reed, the point guard, 6'3 freshman. Dude's a stud. If you have not watched Kentucky basketball this year, he's phenomenal to watch. They beat them. They did lose to Marquette. Marquette's great. They beat Tennessee, who Tennessee is one of my sleeper picks to go deep in the tourney. They can score with the best of it. They're not your old Tennessee team where if they get to 60, they win. They're going for 80. They beat Tennessee. They beat UConn. UConn, who I think might be the best team in college basketball. Now, I get it. One of their best players, their guard, was injured. He had a horrible game in this particular game. I remember watching this game. I was at a bar. Shocker to anyone listening who knows me. Shocker, I was at a bar watching KU UConn. The old, hey, sorry, babe, got to go watch some basketball for work. No, I don't have to drink beer. It's not part of my requirement for work, but, you know, I'm gonna. It's going to make the game go by better for me as a Mizzou fan. So they beat UConn. Big win. Beat Indiana, not a great win, but still. And then they got into conference play. They've been really good against top 25 teams. Before they lost to Houston, they're 7-3 against AP top 25 teams. So it's not like they don't have this top end talent or the top end potential. They just haven't been consistent. When you're losing to teams, sorry, like BYU at home is a good team, not a great team. You got to get that done. When you're losing to Texas Tech by 29, when you're losing at K-State, a bubble team, when you're losing to West Virginia and UCF,
yeah, those are the types of losses where good teams beat the bad teams. And Kansas right now, I know it's a Big 12-wide type of issue where any team can beat any team. But, you know, if you want to be one of the top one or two seeds in the NCAA tournament, you know, you've got to beat the bad teams. And right now, Kansas, it's just been such an inconsistent year, as you mentioned.
I think that's what has to kill Kansas fans right now. Again, it's a down year, obviously, but is it a down year when you go 7-4 currently against AP top 25 teams? It goes to show you the talent level they've played against. They should be prepared. They're just an interesting team, because when I watch Kansas, Bill Self knows way more about basketball. He's a damn better head coach than I would ever dream of being. But sometimes I watch him play, and I'm sitting here going, on offense, why are you getting away from the high-low game of KJ Adams and Hunter Dickinson? Don't stop yourself. Make them stop you. Don't fall in love with the three. You're not a three-point shooting team. When they lost to Baylor, I thought he actually was right. After the game, he goes, you know, I'm not really that disappointed. Like, they were, what, 4 of 13 from three?
Yeah.
That's what they needed to be. They don't need to be a team that's shooting 20-plus threes a game. That's not their style. They will not win that way because they're not a good three-point shooting team. They can't give up 82 is what it comes down to. That's the big issue. But again, they had two guys on Baylor who went, what was it, a combined 14 of 16 from the field. How common is that? So I left that game, watching that, feeling like KU fans, I know it's a loss, it looks bad. I know I sound like a Royals or Mizzou fan here, or the early Chiefs fan here, before Mahomes got here. Look at the silver lining. Look at what went right. Look at the glimpses of what you can take away against other good teams that will work later in March. But then they lost to Houston the way they did. Again, I get Noah McCullers. I get Hunter Dickinson. But even with Hunter there playing before you had 30 points, man.
Yeah. No, that team's already in a giant hole before Dickinson, you know, had the shoulder injury. And McCullough tried to give it a go, obviously did not work out very well, and he's both of them not going to play this week. So, like you mentioned, they've got the talent, and they've done it, beating teams like Tennessee and UConn and Houston. It's just been weird. The bench just hasn't stepped up, and they're not a great shooting team, and that clearly has just
But they've
helped.
Won without being a good shooting team.
Yeah.
They've won national titles without being a great shooting team. Some teams would get hot. Stephen F. Austin got hot. When was it? Thomas Walkup got hot. When Jimmer Fredette gets hot. When guys who you know aren't going to be NBA players get hot. That when Norfolk State, oh my gosh. When Norfolk State gets hot. When was it? Kyle O'Quinn starts banking in threes. It happens every March.
Yeah.
That's not reliant. You can't be reliant on that. That's going to happen. But when you're a team like Kansas who's good defensively and has a good post presence, that is typically something you can rely on game after game with a veteran point guard. That's why I'm higher on KU, making at least a decent run, than I think the majority of KU fans are. We'll see. That Houston game did change a lot of my perspective. Again, KU plays tonight at 8:30 against Cincinnati. Up next, we'll be playing the Kansas pregame show, so you'll get more of a Jayhawk fix. Right now, the K-State-Texas game is at half. K-State, you got to win. Pull it out for me, baby. Come on, Wildcats. Down 10 at half, 39-29. They will need a big second half to keep their hopes and dreams of this song, One Shining Moment, alive. One last heads up. Again, tomorrow, BYU, Texas Tech, 11:30 a.m. TCU, Houston, 2 p.m. Whoever wins between Texas and K-State against Iowa State, 6 p.m. And then whoever wins between Cincy and Kansas will play Baylor at 8:30. Thank you guys so much for hanging out, listening to the Big 12 Championship pregame show. Again, brought to you by Miller Lite Fan Fest at the Power and Light District, Rally House, Green Light Dispensary, and Hollywood Casino. Go down to P&L tomorrow. Check it out. It's going to be a blast. I will be down there. Until then, we are out. And the road is long, in the blinking of an eye.